in this series that we've started concerning giving, praying, fasting. And you see the doors behind me. Pastor, during this season that he has heard from the Lord and guided us into, has presented three challenges for us. The first one is the challenge of giving. He's asked us to give a full tithe or income to God each week, all right? You can see them up there on the screen, but full tithe of our income to God each week. That's called tithing, 10% of your the fruit of your labor each week. Then secondly, in giving, he's asked us to give the equivalent of one full week's wage to the cost of our new building before or on December 8th. So if you haven't gotten involved yet with the giving part, hey, be sure and do that. You can do that today. There's some commitment cards up here at the front. You can fill those out. Just leave them up here at the altar. We'll make sure they get on the wall with the others and write your prayer requests on the back there. So to give, we're going to be gathering a miracle offering on December 8th right here at Grace. And so you can either give 1 week's full wage that day, or you can split it up over the next few weeks until December 8th so that all of it equals, or the sum of, would be a full week's wage. Not only has he challenged us in the area of giving, but also in the area of prayer. He's challenged us to give 1 hour each week to prayer for the church by participating in one of the 5 corporate prayer gatherings. Now, I don't know about you, but it does something to your heart when you come to church maybe a little early and there's people here already praying and seeking God for you. Amen? This morning, they began to pray and gather in the choir room, and then they spilled out into here and began to pray for these requests on the wall. It is good when people are praying, amen? It changes the atmosphere around us. So Pastor has challenged us to give an hour each week in prayer. And then finally, he's challenged us to fast. In the area of fasting specifically, he's asked us to take a 24-hour period once every week and to fast. Now, you can divide that up however you like, but 24 hours of fasting. He shared with us a couple of weeks ago about what happens when we fast, and he talked about how that fasting supercharges our prayers. Amen? It multiplies our prayers. So I want to encourage you, if you've been praying and praying and praying and praying about something, maybe it's freedom from an addiction, maybe it's for healing, maybe it's whatever it may be, and you haven't seen a change, I would challenge you, add fasting to your prayer, and it will supercharge that prayer, and I believe you'll see a miracle. You'll see breakthrough. Now, the big idea of this series comes from Acts chapter 10. It's the story of Cornelius and how Cornelius experienced a number of supernatural blessings during this duration in Acts chapter 10. They include divine revelation, divine direction, divine visitation, household blessing, household salvation, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and then finally, divine favor. Now, how did these things happen to Cornelius? You think, hey, I want that. I want that stuff at my house. I want that stuff on my life. Well, there were 3 things that we see in Acts chapter 10 that Cornelius was doing. First of all, in verse 2, it says he prayed to God always. He was praying. Secondly, verse 2 says that he was giving alms generously to the people. He was giving. And thirdly, verse 30, I was fasting till the 9th hour, Cornelius said. He was fasting. So these 3 doors opened up for Cornelius the presence of God, and they will for us today as well. Now, today we want to turn our focus to one of the supernatural blessings that happened to at Cornelius' house as a result of his giving, his praying, and his fasting. And that is this, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know God still does that? Amen. An outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So let's look together at Acts 10, beginning in verse 44. Acts 10, 44. The Bible says, while Peter was still speaking. Now, let me just stop there for a second. Now, don't forget that Peter has come to Cornelius' house by way of a God-given vision, all right? God shows up for Cornelius and let Peter know that he's supposed to go to Cornelius' house. He showed up for Cornelius to let Cornelius know that Peter was coming, all right? So Cornelius has invited all his family, all of his friends over to hear Peter speak, just like you and I are going to do for the Billy Graham outreach. We're going to invite people, our friends, everybody we care about, over to our house, and they're going to hear Billy Graham preach. Well, Cornelius did that for Peter, all right? So let's look and see what happens. Well, what happened? Peter got to the end of his sharing, okay? He's sharing with all of Cornelius's family and friends all that he ever saw Jesus, you know, do and teach. So then Peter says this, whoever believes in Jesus will receive remission of sins. And right then, right when he says it, the Holy Spirit is poured out on everyone at Cornelius's house. Pretty cool, huh? Amazing. Let's read about it. Acts 10, 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who've received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Isn't that incredible? Will you pray with me right now that the same Holy Spirit that came to Cornelius's house would come to this house and it would touch our lives? Father, we pause right now. We thank you for your word. It's a lamp and a light to our feet. I just ask God that you would confirm your word today. Confirm it with your presence, with signs and wonders that only God can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Francis Chan recently wrote a book not long ago entitled The Forgotten God. The premise of the book concerns the neglect of the church at large of the third person of the Trinity. And a vital part of the triune God, the Holy Spirit. And he writes these words. Listen to this. We have ignored the Holy Spirit for far too long. Without him, we operate in our own strength, accomplishing only human-sized results. Friend, can I tell you that in the last days, we need more than human-sized results? We need God. We need God in the church. You see, if the church is going to rise to the heights that Jesus declared before he left earth, then we must experience a Holy Spirit outpouring that matches what took place at Cornelius' house. The spiritual climate of our culture, our anti-Christian government, and the apathetic pulpits of our nation's churches all should be a trumpet blast to the followers of Jesus Christ to ask, to seek, and to knock for a genuine outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit in the church today. We're desperate for the presence of God in the house of God today. We must have the Holy Spirit moving in these days just before Jesus comes back. We must be tenacious in our desire for the Holy Spirit to come. Reminds me of a story of a man who prayed for an outpouring as well. His name was Honey. You might recognize this story if you've been studying The Circle Maker on Wednesday nights. Mark Batterson writes this story of a man named Honey. In his book, The Circle Maker, young children danced in the downpour like it was the first rainfall they'd ever seen. And it was. Parents threw back their heads, opened their mouths, and caught raindrops like they were libations, and they were. When it hasn't rained in more than a year, raindrops are like diamonds falling from the sky. It would be forever remembered as the day thunderclaps applauded the Almighty, the day puddle jumping became an act of praise. The day the legend of the Circle Maker was born. It was the first century BC, and a devastating drought threatened to destroy a generation, the generation before Jesus. The last of the Jewish prophets had died off nearly four centuries before. Miracles were such a distant memory that they seemed like a false memory, and God was nowhere to be heard. But there was one man, an eccentric sage who lived outside the walls of Jerusalem, who dared to pray anyway. His name was Honey, and even if the people could no longer hear God, he believed that God could still hear them. When rain is plentiful, it's an afterthought. During a drought, it's the only thought. And Honi was their only hope. Famous for his ability to pray for rain, it was on this day, the day, that Honi would earn his moniker. With a 6-foot staff in his hand, Honi began to turn like a math compass. His circular movement was rhythmical and methodical. 90 degrees, 180 degrees, 270 degrees, 360 degrees. He never looked up as the crowd looked on. After what seemed like hours but had only been seconds, Honi stood inside the circle that he'd drawn. Then he dropped to his knees and he raised his hands to heaven. With the authority of the prophet Elijah, he called down fire from heaven. Honi called down rain. Lord of the universe, I swear before you, your great name, that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. The words sent a shudder down the spines of all who were within earshot that day. It wasn't just the volume of his voice, it was the authority of his tone. Not a hint of doubt. This prayer didn't originate in the vocal cords. Like water from an artesian well, the words flowed from the depth of his soul. His prayer was resolute yet humble, confident yet meek, expectant yet unassuming. Then it happened. As his prayer ascended to the heavens, raindrops descended to the earth. An audible gasp swept across the thousands of congregants who had circled Honi. Every head turned heavenward as the first raindrops parachuted from the sky. But Honi's head remained bowed. The people rejoiced over each drop. But Honi wasn't satisfied with a sprinkle. Still kneeling within the circle, Honi left his voice over the sounds of celebration. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. The sprinkle turned into such a torrential downpour that eyewitnesses said no raindrop was smaller than an egg in size. It rained so heavily and so steadily that the people fled to the Temple Mount to escape the flash floods. Honi stayed and prayed inside his protracted circle. Once more, he refined his bold request. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, of your blessing, and of your graciousness. Then, like a well-proportioned sun shower on a hot and humid August afternoon, it began to rain calmly, peacefully. Each raindrop was a tangible token of God's grace. And they didn't just soak the skin, they soaked the spirit with faith. It had been difficult to believe the day before the day, the day after the day. It was impossible not to believe. Eventually, the dirt turned into mud and back into dirt again. After quenching their thirst, the crowd dispersed, and the rainmaker returned to his humble hovel on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Life returned to normal, but the legend of the circle maker had been born. Honi was celebrated as a hometown hero by the people whose lives we had saved. But some within the Sanhedrin called the circle maker into question. A faction believed that drawing a circle and demanding rain dishonored God. Maybe it was those same members of the Sanhedrin who would criticize Jesus for healing a man's shriveled hand on the Sabbath a generation later. They threatened Honi with excommunication, but because the miracle could not be replicated, Honi was ultimately honored for his act of prayerful bravado. The prayer that saved a generation was deemed one of the most significant prayers in the history of Israel. The circle he drew in the sand became a sacred symbol, and the legend of Honi the circle maker stands forever as a testament to the power of a single prayer to change the course of history. The earth has circled the sun more than 2,000 times since the day Honi drew his circle in the sand, but God is still looking for circle makers. Today, I'm believing that God is going to honor our prayer, our cry, and that at the end of this service, as we come to call upon him, that he will hear and he will pour out, not rain from heaven, but Holy Spirit from heaven, on every heart, on every life, on every man, every woman, every young person, and every child, because we need the Holy Spirit in the day that we live. I want us to see quickly at what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Cornelius' house. First of all, look at this. Number one, the Holy Spirit is poured out on everyone. Say everyone. Look in verse 44 of Acts 10. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. The Old Testament prophecy of the Holy Spirit outpouring came in Joel chapter 2. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all," say all, "on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days," Joel said. Can I tell you that those days that Joel was talking about are these days that you and I are living in today? And that the Holy Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. Everyone, just like it was at the day, that day at Cornelius's house. How about on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? How did it go there? How was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Well, Acts chapter 2 verse 4 says this, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Friend, what I'm trying to get you to see today is that the Holy Spirit is poured out on everyone. Say everyone. It was everyone. Peter's Pentecost sermon in Acts chapter 2, he was telling of who this promise was to, because Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit would come after he left the earth, but who would it be poured out on? Who would it be for? Peter says, "For the promise is to you. The Holy Spirit is for you and to your children and to all who are afar off." Friend, the Holy Spirit outpouring is for us today. If you'll open your heart, you'll open your life to Him, I believe that in just a few moments, He will pour out His Spirit on your life. And today you can receive this Holy Spirit that Cornelius received on that day in Acts chapter 10. Somebody say amen. The second thing that I want you to see is that the Holy Spirit outpouring is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 45, they're at Cornelius' house. Look at what happened. "Those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It had been poured out on the Gentiles also." Now, can I tell you today that gifts are not earned, right? Gifts are not deserved even. Gifts are simply received, and the Holy Spirit is a gift. So if you've been waiting on everything to be just right, just quit waiting. Today's your day. If you've been waiting till you get this straightened out or that straightened out or this fixed and that squared away, then just quit. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit, my friend, is just that. It's a gift from your Heavenly Father to you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. You just need to open your heart and receive it like a child would receive from their parents. Are you with me today? It's a gift from God to His sons and daughters. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. I remember that summer evening when I was at a youth camp. I'd been a Christian for just 1 year and serving God in a Southern Baptist church, and I was at that Southern Baptist youth camp in Oklahoma, and I was at the altar. I was right over here on this side of the altar in that tabernacle, just crying out to God, just praying to the Lord, just zealous for the Lord. And you know, as a young man, I knew that I needed the power of God in my life to live for the Lord. With the culture and just everything that had been from my past, I needed the power of God in my life to live for Him. And so I just began to ask Him, "Lord, I want all that You have for me. God, I need all that You have for me." And as a young teenager, I remember all of a sudden my words began to change from English into tongues. And I didn't understand it all, but it sure felt good. And I was empowered that night by the Holy Spirit. And I began to speak in other tongues. And I began to just pray for my friends. I didn't know any better. So I just started praying for my friends and asking God to minister to them and to fill them too. And to give Him all that God had for them. The Holy Spirit outpouring is a gift from God. In Luke chapter 11, I want you to listen to these words. You've heard the first part very often, but verse 13, I want you to listen to the context. Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks seeks, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, he will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father," and you know, "give you a good gift?" We've talked about that, right? You've heard that before. But friends, I want you to see today that the context of this prayer, of the asking, the seeking, and the knocking, is not for anything else except he will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. That's what the Bible says. So you mean, Pastor Tim, if I ask for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to, you know, do something I'm fearful or come on me in some way that's going to make me uncomfortable or make me feel weird or spooky or anything like that? No, for what I'm telling you is that your Heavenly Father loves you and he has only the best planned for you. He has only those things that are going to bring you joy, love, and peace. He has a great life planned for you. He's not going to do something that is going to humiliate you and turn you against him. Everything he does calls you towards him. The gift of the Holy Spirit helps us to experience personal and corporate revival. It acts as a tool that stirs up our zeal and brings refreshing to our spirit man. It creates Holy Spirit fire and passion in our hearts for the things of God. Amen? In fact, Paul spoke this way to Timothy when he was talking to him later on in his years of ministry. He said, "Therefore, I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God." We just talked about what the gift of God is. It's the Holy Spirit. He says, "I want you to stir up the Holy Spirit which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So here we see that Timothy's already been filled with the Holy Spirit, and now Paul is admonishing him, listen, don't let it lay there dormant. There are some of you sitting in this room today, and years ago or months ago or even yesterday, you were filled with the Holy Spirit. But today, God says, be refreshed. Today, God says, stir up the gift of God. Now, the Greek here where it says stirred up actually is better translated to these words, fan into flames. Fan into flames. Now, I don't know about you, but in the day that you and I live, you know, the idea is that there was a work going on that would cause those sparks or just those embers, that ash, to be stirred up in a way where the flames would rise again and burn hot. That's what the challenge is here, right? And so the Holy Spirit, well, it's similar to this fireplace poker. You know, that's the scientific name for this tool. Right? I mean, what do you think? It's a poker. It's what it is. It's just a poker. But if you'll notice this poker, it's very specifically designed to fan into flame. You see, the handle is long. There's a lot of space between where your hand belongs and where the work is going on, right? It keeps you from getting burned. So it is possible to have the fire of God burning in your life without it being out of order or indecent. There are some who fear, actually, what the Bible tells us that we need. I want you to think about it for a second. Those fears have come from some church leaders, maybe, who have abused or been extreme in their handling of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, some have been injured or hurt because they had their hands up here where your hand shouldn't be. Are you with me? Those abuses have caused insecurity and anxiety about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Some have decided that because of the error of church leaders then in the past, that the safest place is where there's no Holy Spirit fire. But can I tell you that God's word today says that where there is no fire is the most dangerous place to be. Be careful not to throw out truth because someone was irresponsible with it. Amen. Keep your hands in the right place, and the Holy Spirit outpouring will bring glory and honor to God without being out of order, without abusing believers, and without promoting a man or a woman, but lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Hold on for the real and the genuine. Hold fast to the truth of God's word, and the Holy Spirit can still work in your life today. You'll notice out here at the end, there's a sharp point. It's used to remove or knock off the ash that has no use or value anymore. The ash has already been spent. It's been burned up by the flames. And the point separates the valuable from the useless. Now, not here, but in some other churches, there are people that are trying to get cold, dead ashes to catch fire and to produce. Well, it's sure not like it used to be. Come on, hey, let me raise my hand. I'll be the first one guilty. I myself have fallen into this trap. Well, if we can just move like we once did. Or if I can just think how I used to. Are you with me? Friend, listen to me. It's been burned up. I can't catch the exhaust from my car in a jar and dump it back in the fuel tank and rev it up. Are you hearing me? It's over. It's done. Now, don't misunderstand me. We ought to give thanks for the victories of the past. We ought to praise God for what He did yesterday. But my friend, God, the Holy Spirit, is working to knock away the ash, to separate the useless from the valuable, and to call us to new things. It's a new season. It's a new day. It's time to go forward with God, with what God wants to do now, in this hour. Thank God for yesterday, but the best days are the ones ahead. The third part of this Holy Spirit poker is this prong or this hook that you see off to the side. It's used to move or to arrange the wood to the most ideal position for being ignited. Scattered sticks won't create a flame. But if you take those same sticks and get them lined up right, they can start a blaze, my friend. Our lives, our homes, our priorities, our thoughts, our families, our words, they must be lined up with God's word. They have to be in the right place. For the flame to burn, we must simply have things in holy order. Now, listen to me. It doesn't matter what Tim says or what. It only matters what the Bible says. And you may disagree with it. You've got that prerogative. But friend, God says there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. There's only one way to these blessings. That's giving, praying, fasting. You may not like it. It may be uncomfortable. We may wish there was another way. But the bottom line is it's God's way, the creator of the universe, the one who still sits on the throne. And he says if you're going to get blessing, these are the ways. Take it or leave it. But it's what God says. The hook is used to get us lined up, to get us in position to be ignited. Amen? I got to hurry today. The gift of the Holy Spirit helps us to understand what we read in the Bible. Amen? John 16:13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide us into all truth. I'm thankful that there's somebody over my shoulder keeping me in check. Are you with me? When you look back over church history and you see men that have fallen, friend, I have to believe that God kept knocking at the door. Get it right, and you can keep serving me. Get it right, and I'll let you stay where you are. Get it right, and you can avoid this humiliation. But they forsook the check of the Holy Spirit. And because of it, you know the rest that's been in the news, right? Men have fallen away from God. Number two, the Holy Spirit helps us to be bold when we share our faith. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Not just power to feel good, but power to be a witness for him, Jesus says. Amen? So we'll have boldness to share our faith. The Holy Spirit helps us to be free from any hindrances, any constraints, any bonds, any confinement. I've been praying this scripture today because I believe in just a minute, when we call people forward for prayer, that the Holy Spirit is going to fall in your heart, in your life, and you're going to come without any walls. You're going to come with liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Today, I believe there's going to be liberty in this house. Amen? D.L. Moody wrote, you may as well try to see without eyes, hear without ears, or breathe without lungs as to try to live the Christian life without being filled with the Spirit. God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, the Holy Spirit outpouring is evidenced by speaking in tongues. Now, this is not probably what I would have chosen, but it's what God chose. In Acts 10:46, look at what it says. For they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water for that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Now, how did Peter and the rest of those Jews know that these people had been filled with the Holy Spirit? What's it say? They spoke with other tongues. They spoke in tongues, so Peter and the rest of them knew they'd been filled with the Spirit. Look at Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. How did they know? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 19:6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. How did they know the Holy Spirit came upon them? And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Mark 16, 17, and 18, and these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Friends, I'm just simple enough just to believe what God says. He says these signs will follow them that believe. They'll speak with new tongues. James 3 tells us that the tongue is the most difficult part of our lives to control. And isn't it interesting? That's the exact thing that God chose to evidence the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Don't let someone else's error steal from you this precious gift that God wants you to have of his son and daughter. Amen. I want to invite the worship team to come back and help me today if they would. G. Raymond Carlson, our former general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, wrote in his book concerning spiritual gifts, a preacher tells of the strange wedding gift he and his bride received. The gift was marked Yardley aftershave lotion. They wrote a note of thanks to the giver for the lotion. And months later, they opened the shaving lotion box only to find, to their embarrassment, a very attractive cut glass vase inside that shaving lotion box. They had in their possession a very valuable gift, but were unaware of its value because it had never been opened. Brother Carlson continues the thought. He says, some adopt the tragic view they can function without the gift of the Holy Spirit. They treat them much like a homemaker treats her choice china. It's always present, but never in service. I want you to stand with me, if you would, all across this place as we get ready to conclude. I believe with all my heart, my friend, that you and I are living in exceptional days. I don't understand always why Paul's not here, or Abraham, or Moses, or Peter, the ones we read about in the Bible. But the fact is this, you and I are the ones on the face of the earth right now. In the fourth quarter, it's you and me in the game. And so I guess there's just the question, the decision that you and I have to make. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to go hide in the corner and whine and cry about all the stuff going on around us? Or are we going to rise up and say, Lord, I will take on the responsibility that you have given me to be in the game at this time in the events of the universe. And I will get on the field and I'll make a difference. I will serve you with my whole life. I'll not be embarrassed about the things that you've written about in your word, but I'll stand strong and be a man. I'll be a woman of God that is determined in their heart to live for you no matter what. Friends, if we're going to do that, we must have the infilling of the Holy Spirit to help us. We will not do it on our own. We will fall way short. If you're here today and you'd say, you know what, Pastor Tim, I have never been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we want to pray for you today. If you're here today and you say, you know, Pastor Tim, I have, but it's been a long time ago, and I need something to stir that spark today. I need the Holy Spirit. I need help to fan that thing into flame again. I need a refreshing. I'm tired. I'm weary. I need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit today. We want to pray for you today. If you're here and you say, you know, Pastor Tim, I'm experiencing personal revival. I feel good. God's doing great things in my heart. Would you help us to pray for corporate revival during these days? Isn't that what giving, fasting, praying is all about? Cornelius's whole house was filled. We need this whole house to be filled. Would you pray for us? Will you pray with us that that would happen? That there would be revival, there'd be refreshing in the house of God. And not just at Grace, but it would begin to spread out to the church in the United States. That no matter what sign, no matter what word was on their sign, that the Holy Spirit would be active and moving and drawing people to salvation. That's the day that we live in. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you're in any of those groups, would you just step out from where you are, come, and let's fill the front of this church. Just 2 minutes. Take 2 minutes. Step out from where you are and come and stand at the front of the church, and we're going to believe God to meet us here today. We're going to believe God to do something real and genuine in the lives of His people and in His church.